God is
A
speaking.
young, yes, God was speaking. Listen up. A young upstart with a vision, a young woman with a mission. How did this teenager in the 1400s change the trajectory of a nation? Join us as your Historians of Hysteria to Something Perplexing podcast takes a look at Joan of Arc. I'm Issa.
I'm Patty.
And I am Khaled. Hello, people.
Was that your ghost? Was that your ghost talking
I think
to
it's God.
Joan? That was my heavenly voice speaking in my mind.
I love it. I
Oh,
want you guys to know that if you're studying for an exam right now, you're going to get information from the Something Perplexing podcast about Jonah Arc that you could just listen to this and disregard all your textbooks and stuff because it'll have you covered. It'll have you covered with passing grades, A pluses. This is the type of detailed information you're going to get on this episode.
wow.
And if you get an F, your teacher's wrong. So,
100%.
Your teacher's bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit. We was trying to keep it PG, but not so much. We not so much. So, in an attempt to cover the fascinating life of Joan of Arc, we have a 3-point division on this. I'm gonna talk about Joan's early life. Khalid gonna talk about the military leadership and the impact she played on the war. And Auntie Patricia gonna talk about the trial, conviction, and her overarching legacy. I think before I jump into the whole early life, you guys want to hear about some points, day-to-day life in 1412 France?
Yes. Oh,
Yeah.
yes.
So apparently it was a agrarian economy. So that mean in 1412 it was primarily about agriculture, farming and stuff like that. The majority of the population lived in rural areas and engaged in farming, herding, and agricultural work. It was a feudal society, so apparently French society was structured along feudal lines with a hierarchical system of lords, vassals, and serfs. Land ownership was concentrated among nobles who controlled large estates worked by peasants. That's where Joan dad come in. He was one of those peasants that was actually working actual huge estate that was owned by a lord. I had the name of the lord too. I'll get to that.
Voldemort.
For, well, Voldemort? I don't think it was Voldemort.
Oh,
I don't think it was Voldemort, Patricia.
there went that A.
Apparently, it had like a huge religious influence around that time. Catholic Church was running the show, held significant power and influence in medieval France. Religious life was central to daily routines with regular attendance at mass prayers, observance of religious beliefs, etc. While the majority of the population lived in those type of rural areas, there were also bustling urban centers in France, including cities like Paris, Lyon, Marseille. Craftsmanship and guilds were a big thing. Craftsmanship flourished in medieval France with artisans organized into guilds that regulated their trade. They had medieval markets. The literacy at the time was relatively low, especially among lower class. Education was typically reserved for nobility and the clergy, so I suppose the church.
Yes.
Yeah, most peasants relying on oral tradition for communication and learning. They had like seasonal work. So daily life in medieval France was influenced by the seasons. So with it being primarily a agricultural thing that Joan was in, they would work by the season. And during the winter, colder months, they would like basically prepare for the harvest on the planting months. I had like a breakdown on what those colder months would be like too.
Do you have a breakdown on what they were harvesting every month of the year?
It
Just
was yeah,
random.
no, I have it, dude.
Oh.
It was yeah. They harvested opium and marijuana. No, I didn't have
So
it.
it's everything.
I didn't have it. France was
Cool
like
though.
the opium bed. It was the Afghanistan of the 1400s. It's just the best opium you could possibly want.
Well, if that was the case, then I think we would have solved this pretty quickly.
If any kid puts that in their paper, you got issues, kid. Sorry. France was the
I
opium
bring.
den of Afghanistan. Was the Afghanistan of the 1430s, of the 1400s.
Right, opium. Again, that's it. Fashion, clothing, medieval France, vary depending on one's social status. In terms of like entertainment in medieval France, it included activities such as storytelling, music, dances, and games. Taverns and ale houses were popular gathering places where people could socialize, drink, and enjoy performances. Crime and punishment. Law and order in medieval France were maintained through a combination of royal justice, feudal law, and local customs. Punishment for crimes ranged from fines and public humiliation to imprisonment, corporal punishment, and even execution. Superstition and belief. Superstition and belief in the supernatural were widespread in medieval France, with people attributing natural phenomenon, illness, and misfortune to divine or demonic influences. Charms, talismans, and rituals were used to ward off evil spirits and protect against harm. And the last thing I'm going to mention is domestic life. So family was central to daily life in medieval France, with households typically consisting of extended kin networks living together under one roof. Homes were often small and cramped, with limited privacy and shared spaces for cooking, eating, and sleeping. But the big takeaway I wanted you guys to get from that was the massive, massive religious thing. Because when we jump into Joan's life, which I shall touch on right now, she was apparently born in 1412. In the village of Domremy.
No. Okay.
No? Is it
No, I
Domremy?
believe. No. I said Dom Perignon, and then I said no.
No, it's not Domperignon. It was
Okay.
Domremy in
Okay.
northeastern France. She was the daughter of the greatest opium farmer in the land. No, she was the daughter of Jacques d'Arc, a
Oh.
farmer, and Isabelle Romée. Her religious upbringing. She grew up devoutly, super Catholic family, deeply religious from a young age. She was known for being into it. Like, she wasn't one of those kids who was just saying the prayers because the mom and dad was, making her do it. She was genuinely enthused by it. And apparently, at the age of 13, that's when she began experiencing visions of Saint Michael, Saint Catherine, and Saint Margaret. She claimed that these saints appeared to her and spoke to her, urging her to drive out the English and help Charles VII become the rightful king of France. So apparently, the visions that she had from these people, it started at 13. In this super religious area. And I didn't mention this, but France at the time was under English rule. So it was like, Charles VII was who the local French taught. And Khalid will jump into this more, what the whole Hundred Year War was about and all that stuff. But they were under British rule at this point. They were thinking about liberty and freedom. In the midst of all that, and I suppose the little chatter and the gossip about what we're going to do and how Charles is going to get into power, da da da, this little 13-year-old girl started seeing visions, and she believed those visions were a divine calling, that she had been chosen by God to save France. She saw herself as a messenger sent to fulfill a divine mission. during Joan's adolescence, France was embroiled in that Hundred Year War, and much of the country was under English occupation. Joan felt a strong desire to resist that the English and restore France to its former glory. So yeah, that's kind of like where it started. So eventually, Joan's divine mission gained her local support in Domremy and surrounding areas. She persuaded a relative to take her to a nearby town of Vaucouleurs. Vaucouleurs. Where she got her first bob haircut.
She's cute.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, it have one drawing of her, dude. And it is nothing like that. Patty, I get like, I was watching a documentary on Tubi on it. Mm. I didn't finish it out. Yeah, Tubi, man. And there was like, she popularly known and, you know, historically described with the bob. Uh-huh. But the one sketch that somebody had take of her while she was in court, apparently they had draw her with like a dress and with long hair, but they kind of disputing that being the actual image of her because they're saying that the guy just didn't want to draw her with the short hair and the dress. Okay. But it was more like a scribble, dude. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Sure. Right. So anyway, Robert de Boudicourt.
What?
Robert the Booty Court.
The Booty Court.
It's not the Booty Court. B-A-U-D-R-I-C-O-U-R-T.
I don't even know what you said. I just still hear Booty Court. Court.
Booty
Mr.
Court.
Booty Court. Mr. Booty Court to the front, please. Spell it again. French. Spell it again.
Robert de B-A-U-D-R-I. C-O-U-R-T.
Audrey Court? Audrey Court, yeah.
Who is this dude?
He apparently authorized the escort to chin on for him to, for her to meet and, you know, throw out her plea to Charles. So Joan left Chinon with the French army in 1429, determined to lift the English siege of Orleans. But I'm not going to dive into that, as Uncle Khaled is going to talk about that. To just finalize on the little small things I had mentioned before, right? Joan, just to recap, born 1412, she would have been around 13 years old when she started getting visions.
Drinking the religious Kool-Aid.
Drinking them religious juice. That sweet, sweet Jesus juice. Divisions began around 13, so that was around 1425. The sense of divine calling and mission developed shortly after she began experiencing her visions. And that would be around, you know, again, 13, 14. She, between 13 and 16, she was still going through those mid-teenage years, and it was like just coming to terms with the vision, starting to tell people about it, understanding the political, you know, kind of stranglehold that her family was under and that the country was under and what her purpose might be. One of the things that was crazy in the 2B documentary, I didn't see it anywhere else except in that documentary. So she would only see the visions at this particular church in her village, and it would be at a certain angle to the right a thing, and that is where she would see the visions. It would come at a certain time. Yeah, and she would be like, that's where she would go to get her visions.
What caused her to get the first vision? Like, what was happening in her village?
Her period. Haven't you seen Carrie?
That's where all the magic starts, I mean, buddy.
you know what was happening? Where she got the first vision?
What?
Her town was being invaded by the English. They were burning her town down.
And everybody threw tampons.
What?
Joined shower.
Like, She was like resting in the bushes somewhere, hiding in the bushes, or she passed out in the bushes. I don't know. But, you know, she was just, you know, that's where she got the vision from, those three people that said, you got to go and defeat the English French woman. Yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts so far.
No, you do, huh? That's good.
I do, yeah.
But all of this, you know, all of this is it spoke about the things going on and the life that they were living in that time, all in kind of encompasses the 100-year war that was going on at the time, which started back in like freaking 1300 and something. You ready for that bad boy?
Yes.
I just need to say that transition was so awesome. I was just going to stay quiet and just let you fly. But yes.
Fly, yeah. Fly, little pelican.
Fly, little angel with the wings. And come and tell the story of Joan of Arc. And here we go.
Hey, my fucking guy.
All right. So basically, this happened back in like freaking 1300s. The 100-year war was a mishmash of like people inbreeding and shit going on. Not inbreeding, but a lot of like people in England, people in France, marrying, fighting, whatever. There was a guy that invaded England, took it over. A French guy. He was part French, part English. He became the King of France, King of England, sorry, 100 years ago. So he had no problem paying homage to the King of France. So basically, no issues there. Hundreds of years passed by. This English guy, his descendants are more English and French, but they have to pay homage basically to this king. So eventually there's a king called Charles IV of France. He left no male heirs. He died before his last child was born. And the baby came out from this 18-year-old girl. Third child was a girl. No heirs. So his cousin became king, Philip VI of France. But he had a nephew who had more rights to becoming king, Edward III of England. So they had a little argument there. Yeah?
Dude, wait. I hear wrong. Somebody didn't have heirs, and that's why they get disqualified from being a king.
No male heirs.
Oh, heirs. Oh, I thought you mean like heirs. And I swear, dude, in my head, I think that the kid was born with no heirs, and it was like, oh shit, we can't have this no heir freak running the kingdom, man.
No, we can't. Inbreeded babies. Yeah. No,
yeah. They
can't do that. So basically,
it was like no ears.
No ears. So basically, what needs to be done is the King of England needs to pay homage to the King of France. But this Edward, who is a nephew of the king that died, didn't really think he should pay homage to his cousin, the cousin of the king. So usually when you pay homage to a king, this is what kind of began the 100-year war. You're supposed to take off your clothes, your shirt, bow down in front of the king in like humble clothing, put your hands like this in a prayer, and he would put his hands around yours and give you a kiss. But this Edward didn't have any of that. He showed up in his crown, in his fine clothing, walked up to the king, bowed down, said his words, got the kiss and left. So it was kind of like a little rudeness happening there. But it was arguments basically of England saying they own France, and France like, no, you can't have us. So they're back and forth. So everybody felt like they had a right to it. So when Joan was born into it, you know, she was feeling the effects of the English coming in and raping and killing and taking their animals and just destroying everything around them. So she did not like the English. So when the visions happened, they told her she needed to go meet the, what's his name, Charles the Seventh? What do you call him? I forgot the name they called him, some French name. What is that?
I didn't have the French name of him.
I just have French King Charles the Seventh.
All right.
Yeah.
Charles the Seventh. So yeah. She needed to go and make him king. So after, yeah.
You see where you at right now?
Yeah.
This is where booty court come into play.
Not booty court.
Charles de Baudricourt was the first one. He's the one
the
that
Baudricourt.
Joan Alain. So the dad was technically working for Baudricourt. And yes.
That's right, the landlord. I never thought about
so
him.
Baudricourt is the one that say, I hearing you out right now. You need to go to King Charles VII.
Is he? The king, maybe? I don't know. Because she at the time, there was a magician, a famous magician, that had a prophecy, and the prophecy was circulating. Guess who the magician was? No.
Harry Houdini.
No.
Paul? No, David
No.
Copperfield.
No. Ready? Tell me when you get
Franklin
up.
Baudricourt. David Baudricourt.
Close.
Jessica Baudricourt.
No. He was a magician in King Arthur's court.
Merlin?
David Blaine.
No. Wrong century. Wrong time.
The Riddler.
The Riddler.
It was a riddle. Merlin, people. Merlin.
Oh, Merlin. Oh, Merlin. Fucking
Merlin.
Merlin
had a prophecy.
Yeah,
You know the prophecy
we know
was?
Merlin. Oh, God. What?
Dude, you Merlin are said, straying from reality. I don't think Merlin was in the mix of Jonah Arc.
Oh,
Merlin
he was.
Was real?
Merlin is it's prophecy that they said Merlin, the magician, made this prophecy.
Oh, okay. But he wasn't alive at the time.
No.
Oh,
he was
okay.
Like long dead. Because
gotcha.
I think the stories were going on back then, and I think Merlin was real. We should do a podcast on Merlin, and we need to check him out, see if he's real or not. But basically, the prophecy said this: France will be lost by a woman, but freed by a virgin on the border of Lyon. Patty.
Always, bro. These stories and men, women, and the virgin, and the this and the that. It's even fucking Merlin is exhausting. Sorry.
Prophecy, girl. Prophecy. Prophecy. But dude, that inspired the people. That idea that she was a virgin and she's going to save France because they're losing all the battles. They're just like not doing good. So as she comes in there, you know, she's, you know, saying, I want to come meet Charles. I need to come meet the guy, make him a king. And for months, they said, no, you're not real. But the people around her were like listening to her story. They knew the prophecy and they're like inspired by her. So eventually, after Charles loses some battles again, he says, okay, let me meet this girl. Bring her down. And she travels 300 miles. She chopped her hair off, got the bob look, travels to see the king. Not the king yet, but the guy who's going to be King Charles. But, you know, he pulls a little trick on her. You heard about that trick he did on her?
Mm-hmm.
Go, Patty.
How did she travel those 300 miles?
She convinced some of her people, like warriors, soldiers, that they believed in her, so they accompanied her to meet the king. 300 miles. She didn't
like
die.
They walked, or
they rode horses.
Horses? What if her hymen broke?
Ooh. Luckily, he did not. Because they had to check her out when she got there. But.
What they did they really have to check her vagina, dude?
It did, yeah. Bro, they checked
her. You nodded like that's a real nod. Like, for real?
Yeah, they have to make sure she's real.
They did it. They do it in court, too. But
so, my thought is, there was a woman that was kind of, like, guiding her also. She had, like a guide, an older lady. So, I don't know if this is all planned just to, like, you know, like, say, like, Captain America, how he's, like, you know, a showpiece for the, you know, aren't people inspired by him, whatever. Whatever, you know, in our age. But back then, she had to go meet him. She'd never seen him before, doesn't know what he looks like. So he wanted to prove that she's real or fake. He got somebody else to stand in his place, to pretend to be the king. But when she saw him, she's like, no, where is he? And she found him. She walked up to him and gave him like a private message. You know, went and spoke to him. And after the private message, he believed her. And he created a suit of armor for her. There were a bunch of questions about her. They examined to make sure she was a virgin. And then she said, if you want more proof, send me to Orleans to fulfill my prophecy. I'm here to liberate that city and make you king. So eventually he says, okay, go ahead. Now, Orleans was already been under siege for 6 months. All right. It's been going on since it was captured by the English. And I have to have the dates over here, but I don't know where it's at right now. Because my notes, my records are a mess.
Are you saying when she's captured by the English?
No.
Oh,
the city
okay.
was captured by
the city. Okay, got it. Yeah. Oh, yes. Sorry.
Yeah. So they captured like one little side of it. They had to break the bridge, but they were stuck there for 6 months. So she went in there with the army. She inspired everybody by just being the virgin, you know, and all she walked with was, she had a flag. All she carried was a flag, right? A flag with, I think, I forgot what was on the flag itself, like two angels or something like that. And she would just be there like the mascot, you know? God said, go get them, guys. And guess how many days it took her to take back the city? Patty says five.
No, one? I was gonna give a guess. I guess it is not 69 days.
No, that would have been interesting.
7 days.
No,
like the Lord.
The Lord. Ooh.
3 days.
3 days. Why three, Patty? 3 days. Yeah.
The Trinity. The Trinity. The Father, the Ghost, and the Holy Spirit.
Something Father, like that, the yeah. Son, and the Holy Ghost.
That eso mismo. That.
Ahí mismo. That one.
Aquí. That one.
So our girl wins. You know, I actually watched that movie, The Messenger. I was trying to match up what I learned from The Messenger from like what I see in stories about her. And most of it kind of matched up, you know.
As that scene was in The Messenger.
Yeah.
As the one with battling, her fooling the... you watched it recently, ooh, dude?
Yeah, I watched it like last week.
Really?
Yeah. First time watching it, it was a damn good movie.
I enjoy it, bro. Dustin Hoffman was the Dark
Lord.
Never
seen it.
And it was the most awesome devil.
Was he the devil?
Yes, he was the devil.
Why was he God? I don't know. We have to see. We have to talk about that.
Dustin Hoffman was the devil in that movie, dude. He was so awesome.
Could have been God. Could have been like, you know, maybe the devil. But she, our young girl, was fighting. And she got into it. She like was climbing a ladder. And they shot an arrow into her chest. She passed out. They thought she was dead. Right? But she got, you know, they took care of her. She got up in the battlefield the next day and she was like surprising the English. She won. She attacked. Now, how she had a total of 13 battles. She won only 9 battles.
Right? Only?
Only 9.
Seems like a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot. That's true. It's true. It's a true
loser.
True loser.
Loser. But if she had some balls, she would have went all 13, right?
Oh, I know, fucking right? Loser.
Dude, but our boy Charles, kind of like, you know, being the guy that he is, kind of backstabbed a little bit. After she won Orleans, she got him crowned king. She was made like royalty herself. Her town got to pay no taxes. Her family became like royalty also. But she wanted to continue fighting. The voices told her to get Charles to become king. And I think that was about it. But our girl Joan had a temper and she wanted to keep fighting. So she went to try and save, get Paris. And then at Paris, like Charles didn't send the army to back her up. So she lost a lot of her men. It was kind of, it was terrible. She lost. So at one point, she's out there trying to save a city called Compiègne,
yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's how you say it, but yeah, that's the city.
In 1430?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, and there she got captured May 23rd, 1430, captured by the Burgundians. So the Burgundians were French people that wanted to side with the English. And they were against the Armagnac, which were the French who wanted to stay, you know, have their own French army. But the Burgundians caught her in France. And eventually, after 6 months, sold her to the English. I think that's where I leave off. It was only 3 years of her doing her thing. You know, a lot of battles. But throughout all of this, she was on the battlefield. It said she never wielded a sword, but maybe she did. But she was there just as a motivation for the people to fight.
The token virgin.
Token virgin. Yeah.
Wow.
She's a badass. I had no idea, but okay, shoot. That was cool. But then she gets captured and shit goes down. And that's where our young virgin Patty comes in.
That's me. Yeah, so apparently when she gets captured, the Burgundian leader, his name is Duke Philip, he is very happy about that. And the way he sees it is that it's like a blow. It's a blow to her credibility. He's like, well, maybe she's not, you know, she this is gonna make her look bad. Like all this hype she's saying is, you know, because we caught her and maybe she's not that godly and that amazing if we're able to catch her and she's captured. So they end up putting her on trial, and I'll talk about what she's being charged with in a second. At a court, I'm going to butcher these things, at Rouen, France. And the charges listed against her include wearing men's clothes, and that's in violation of a prohibition found in the Book of Deuteronomy. I don't know what that means. I know you're nodding, Issa, because you're very biblical.
Not a
And
book in the Bible, man. That's, you can't be
oh,
wearing
okay.
pants and shit like that. Yeah.
No, not that.
What?
And another thing is falsely leading people to believe that she was sent by God. She was also being accused of murder, witchcraft. And obviously the witchcraft stuff came because she was saying that she was being guided by different voices that were kind of taking her on this path to help the French king, and all these things really conflicted with what the church believed in their authority, and they actually thought that she was trying to challenge God. So she's put on trial, and it was to say that it was an unfair trial would be the understatement of the 1400s, if you will. The judges were very pro-English. They were biased against her. The trial was overseen by the Bishop of Beauvais. His name was Pierre Cauchon, and he was politically opposed to the French king. So it's just like conflicts of interest everywhere. This trial is just crazy. So on February 21st, Joan faces Bishop, February 21st, 1431, sorry. Joan faces Bishop Cauchon and 42 clerics in Rouen's fortress. She's dressed as a man, and prior to her to this day, she is examined and they confirm that she is in fact a virgin. So at least she has that going for her.
Still, wow,
Still, I don't know
just
how many times they're going to check that this poor girl's a
right.
virgin. So
You know
as you
what
mentioned,
else? Is Deuteronomy, right? That's where she says she can wear pants.
that's one of the reasons that she couldn't wear pants because of that
Yeah,
book.
because of that book. Yeah, you know what else
Yeah.
that book say?
Oh God, what?
You is a sin to poop in water. You need to go outside and poop in a hole and then cover it up with dirt.
So
So
like every
everyone,
time we go to the
every time.
toilet, we're sinning.
Oh,
Okay.
shit. Yes.
Listen, I
I'll
already
keep
took
that
off
in
my
mind.
study it.
It's
Study
okay.
it.
I already
At
took
this
off my
point in
pants.
1453, where you think people poop into? Not
Not in
in
the
water,
water.
man.
Yeah.
Not in the
Yeah.
drinking water.
Well,
But not
ew.
with ladies, not with pants on.
No,
Oh, with
ladies.
dresses.
Only ladies? Is
No,
ladies
ladies and
can't
men.
wear pants. Oh,
Ladies
so I
can't
shouldn't
poop.
be wearing pants.
Ladies not supposed
Ladies
to poop, Khalid. Those are allowed to do that.
women do not poop, period, Khalid. Come on.
Yes.
They have periods, but don't poop.
Be real.
Gotcha.
You know, that's how it comes out. So, as Issa mentioned at the beginning, there was, you know, poverty, the peasants, they didn't really have super high education, and Joan was from a peasant family. And so these people that were questioning her, they were kind of asking her really complex questions. They were kind of confusing her. They were tricking her, and they were also threatening her with torture. And one of the things I read that this particular trial, considering the time, was very well documented. Like they actually have a lot of information on this particular trial, which is stunning because they really didn't have, the records were a mess. Yeah.
One thing I think they were trying to do with all these priests, some of them were trying to make sure they weren't making a mistake and like sacrificing Jesus again or somebody holy. So they were trying to wash their hands to make sure they weren't doing anything wrong. Some of them, not all
Yeah,
of them.
some of them maybe, but definitely not. Okay.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of the trial, yeah.
No, I could just see it. I could see it being super documented just because of the origin story, right? Because you're dealing with somebody who basically saying that she's a prophet, who basically saying she going by the word of God, and they're trying that in court.
Yeah.
And the whole society just revolve around these religious ideas. So it's like they had to come tight to be able to say, oh my gosh, look at you.
Yeah.
Wearing pants and pooping in water.
I'm pooping in water.
For real.
So at the beginning of her trial, she is like, well, I can talk to you guys all day and night. Not like that. Shouldn't say like that. But I can talk to you guys and I'll answer any questions about what I've done. But I cannot talk to you about the revelations that God has made to me. And they were threatening her, and she was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not, regardless of the threat, I'm not going to tell you what God has said to me. So eventually, while the court is going on and under a lot of pressure, Joan kind of begins to backpedal a little bit and she recants some of her claims. And she agrees to wear, this is the picture that you saw, she agrees to wear feminine clothes. So in some of the court hearings, she apparently was wearing dresses. This for
Really?
the, yes.
Huh.
So this for the court is like they see it as a win. And
Fancy
she,
that.
yeah, so she's like again under a lot of pressure saying, okay, I didn't hear voices. Here I am in this dress. I'm not shitting in water anymore. Things are gonna go good. And this goes on for a little bit, but initially she regresses back to what she was initially saying, and she goes back to wearing the men's clothing. And she's like, I was hearing voices. That wasn't a lie. What the court does with her kind of going back and forth is that they use this, what they call a relapse, as evidence that she was going against the church. I don't know exactly how they did that, but that's what they were like. Well, the fact that she's going back and forth means that there's some kind of darkness involved and she's going against the church, and that was punishable by death. So, following the trial, this guy, Jean de Châtillon, and he's a master of theology, he goes and he talks to Joan. And he mansplains pretty much all the way that everything she thinks is wrong. We've all been there if you're a woman. And he's like, you wore clothes, men's clothes, and that's a violation of the Deuteronomy. Is that how you say it, Issa?
Yeah, I guess. Dutra, yeah. I know it
And
is. I can't
yeah.
pronounce it.
And everything you've said is wrong. When you were saying that you had these revelations, that was false. You lied. When you were talking about angels talking to you, that the angel and the crown and Charles, that was also false. So Joan answered to this man, Jean, and this is a direct quote. Well, no, because I'm not gonna say it in French, but it's, you know, what it says that she said. If I saw the fire, I would say all that I am saying to you now and would not act differently. But she added a warning that if the church did allow her to be put to death, quote, evil will seize upon you, body and soul. And so they saw this as Joan really acting up because, like, she was just being out of control. And so they end up taking her back to her cell. And they're like, we're done. We're not even going to give her an opportunity to recant, to get better. This is it. We're done with her. She's acting out. She's not admitting her sins. They were calling them sins, right? So she's going to her sentencing. She shows up to her sentencing. And I guess the reality of life is hitting her. Like, I'm gonna die. These people are going to kill me. And so at her sentencing, she decides to recant her crimes. She signs documents that they give her to sign, and she's promised salvation. She's not going to die, but she's going to be living in a prison cell. Like, we're not going to kill you because you recanted this and you signed this document, but you're not going to be out. You're not going to be free. You're going to live in a prison cell. So they take her away. They put her in a dress again, because God damn it, do they want this poor girl in a fucking dress? And they shave her head. So she's in prison for 4 days, and just 4 days. And they caught Bishop Kaushan on May 28th that he should go visit Joan in her cell. And when he goes to see Joan in her cell, how does he find her? Does anybody want to guess how he finds her? Yeah.
In a dress. No, in a man's. No, no.
No, she's in men's clothing again. And she goes on to explain that she did not understand that she had promised not to wear men's clothes, and that they were practical, and that she was in prison anyway, living among men. So why couldn't she be in men's clothing? I mean, it all sounds like, okay, let this poor girl be in men's clothing. And she also said that she was under the impression that if she wore a dress, she was going to be allowed to attend mass, but that hadn't happened. So she urges and she says, can you please move me to a better prison where I can be among other women and I can attend mass? And if you do this, I'll gladly put on a dress. But Kaushan and the judges were like, no, Joan, that's not what's going to happen. Instead, they start to think, Kaushan and the clerics, that because Joan had gone back on wearing women's clothing and saying what she was saying, that she was a relapsed heretic.
Heretic.
There was only one thing that they could do to a relapsed heretic. So they go up to her and they ask her again about her visions. And Joan says, yeah, I saw them. I don't know if they were good. I don't know if they were bad, but I saw these spirits. So on May 30th, 1431, Joan is bound to a wooden stake in the market square of Rouen. She's taken through the streets, and she had a cap on with the words relapsed heretic, apostate, idolater, I don't know. And she's high above a crowd. The crowd is screaming out, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And Joan is consumed by flames. She dies. So this is May 30th, 1431. Her conviction is overturned in a rehabilitation trial in 1456. That is 25 years later. She would have still been fucking alive, okay? Mm-hmm. And she would have been in her 40s. The court found the original trial to be flawed and declares her innocent. 25 years too late, but they declare her innocent. She is considered in the Catholic Church and in France as a hero, as a national hero. And yeah, that's her trial, her conviction, her execution. She's in a Smiths song, if you guys like the Smiths.
What song is she in?
The song is called Big Mouth Strikes Again. He just says, and now I know how Joan of Arc felt.
There's also Madonna's song about Joan of Arc.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. This is where I realize I'm kind of psychic, because I haven't heard Madonna in a long time, right? I'm like, the hell is Madonna?
What Madonna song is she in?
It's called Joan of Arc. She does a song about Joan of Arc.
And I don't think I've ever heard that.
Yeah, as I was researching Joan of Arc, Madonna pops up on my list of information, and she has a song. So I'm listening to the song. I'm like, damn, Madonna, where have you been? I come home that night, put it on the TV. Madonna, she's in concert. It's like, the sign.
It's crazy, it was the man. Sign.
It's a good song, though. Good song.
I gotta listen to it.
Yeah, right.
It's actually good.
She got captured in May 1432. Mm-hmm. The trial didn't start until January 9th, 1431. So that's May, June, July, August, September, October, November. So that's like, so that hair grew out. You know what I mean? So maybe that sketchy fo with the long hair was the case
Yeah,
before
they
she
end
shaved
up
it out, right?
right before they shave it again, right? So yeah, so that's why when you said that, I was like, oh, that actually makes sense because they put clothes on her
Yeah, you're
a
right.
couple of times. They were really adamant about her
Wow.
wearing women's
Look
clothes,
at
huh?
she probably
Look at this
was
picking
wearing
out
clothes.
things.
Yeah, right? It's like
Makes
a
sense
whole
now.
mystery there, man.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Because like the documentary was like, why would they draw her with clothes? And then I'm thinking like, why random dude in the courtroom on a little scribble next to the notes would just decide to scribble random untruths? You know what I mean? Like, like he wasn't hired to do the scribble. It was a scribble. You know, it's just like he was looking at somebody and thought that this girl is pretty, and let me draw a picture of her.
Yeah, because eventually I think she's because you know when she was doing all her fighting, like they didn't know where she was or they couldn't keep track of all the fighting she was doing to try and liberate France. But the only reason she cut her hair was to get to meet the king, to kind of like sneak through the, you know, pretend she was a guy. But once she met the king, everybody knew she was a girl. She had no reason to hide it. So maybe it did grow out. It was coming out.
That's cool though. I mean, like that kind of influence that young kid had. She
Yeah.
died when she was like 19, right?
She was 19. Yeah. 19, right? Because 1430, when she's captured, she's 18, I believe. And so she dies the following year. So either 19 or 20. I'm not sure.
And
Let me see.
The thing
Actually.
about her too, throughout all this these battles that she did,
Yeah, 19.
yeah, she was crying for both sides. She didn't expect all that carnage. So when the English died, she was shocked and wept for all the blood she saw. I don't know if, you know, she wasn't ever, I don't know if she was ever ready for it. She became ready. She did it. But they said she was like moved.
Oh, and she was
Really?
canonized. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that. She was canonized into 1920, which means she's a saint.
1920? Ooh. Had a lot of bob haircuts back then that they said were you know, based on her look.
So what you guys think? What you guys think in terms of like the visions?
Think she was mentally unwell.
For real? You lean in heavy on that?
Oh yeah, 100%. I think she I mean, I don't know her like intimate details of her life, but just like the religious obsession and the stuff like that. Yeah, I think that there was something that was not well, and that's how it manifested through religion and seeing things and visions and this and that.
Influence so much people because of the visions were centered around particular saints.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Agnes of God? Because you should. So good. Okay. We'll talk about it later.
Agnes.
No,
Sounds like
you gotta give it a
yeah.
quick summary now, dude.
People want to
Like,
know.
It's about a nun. Hold on, let me read you the actual description. It's a
none of your
very good
business.
movie. It's with Jane Fonda, and it's about a court-appointed psychiatrist sent to evaluate its sister Agnes, a young nun whose infant has been found strangled. So she gets pregnant, and she starts saying that it was Immaculate Conception, and like she totally believes this, right? Like she's clearly unwell. It's a really good movie, creepy. You should watch it. It's not Rotten Tomatoes doesn't like it, but I thought it was a good movie.
Where's your thoughts, Khaled, on the visions and stuff
Well,
like that?
let's see. I don't know. She did take back a city that was being, well, help take it back because she inspired so many people. She may have known about the Merlin story, the prophecy, because it's been around for such a long time. So by claiming that she was this virgin, inspired people and they were like impressed with her. My thought is maybe she did see something. Maybe she was inspired by some divine source, but she took it a bit too far and went above what they were telling her to do.
Pride.
Yeah, just kept going. And then, you know, hey, she lost. So I don't know. I don't know. People have their religious beliefs.
Yeah.
Go for it. It was her town. It was her people. She was fighting for them. Whatever it takes. Yeah, go for
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I think this is one of those things. It's a where I think we're all going to have different opinions based on our religious, like what we believe in religion and stuff. And since I'm not a big religious believer, I tend to go more the route like she was just off a rocker.
Oh, no. And you know how much I love that. And I respect that. I'm just saying, moldy bread. Wasn't moldy bread a big thing in the 1400s, dude?
Yeah.
That moldy bread was fucking people up left and right. Was LSD, the dancing plague not around this time too?
Yeah, I think it was.
Like you could be seeing things because you're kind of like, you know, high and super overly religious at the time. But
nah, but you know what? Again, like my go ahead, bud, sorry.
100 years of carnage around you, you know, seeing your town destroyed and all that, you're gonna see some things. You're gonna be kind of fucked up in the head.
I think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful that she's a French hall marker society and the French love her so much and they canonize her and she's a saint. Maybe she sees some shit. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I think I think it's awesome to for French society to put somebody like that up on a pedestal. I think she kind of badass.
I agree with that. And I think at its core, sadly, this story is another story of men just fucking over women.
The king did fuck her over. You know, he left her to out to dry. When she wanted to liberate all of France. She's like, oh, you know, I'm good. I got what I wanted.
Yeah, he got that one little area and he was like, I done.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, that song,
dude.
That song very dude-like.
There was a scene in that movie, The Messenger. I don't know if it was real, but it was right after the Battle of Orleans, where she was like appalled by all the death. She didn't want more people to die. So when her army, the French army, went up against the English army, she ran out in front of all of them to the English and said, "Listen, God doesn't want your blood spilled," something to that effect. And says, turn around now and go home. And the army turns around and leaves. So she saved all everybody's life that day by just doing that because she didn't want to spill any more blood. So I don't know if that was real or not. But, you know, everybody's fighting for the same God. I'm like, whose side is God on here? You know? Yeah. Can't be both.
Yes, Khalid, thank you. And what do I always say? Like all these wars, what are they? It's all religion, man.
It's a bunch of bullshit.
Christianity and God religion, not like other religions.
All of them. They're all like, you know, they're all again for the same God mostly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they all have their bullshit.
Yeah. But no, I agree. I think it's cool. I think her vibe was real cool. Like 1430, like. Kind of butch. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, she liked
man
clothes.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, dude. She liked man clothes. She liked, you know, fighting and fucking dudes up, you know?
Yeah,
fucking
why not?
Dudes up, yeah. And she didn't break her hymen riding a horse all this time?
She did not.
Is that a thing?
The hymen was intact.
Was that a thing? People ride horses that
doubly inspected.
I don't know. I've heard that you could, like, when you're a kid, you hear crazy stories. And I heard that you could break your hymen riding a bicycle. So if you can break your hymen riding a bicycle, why not a horse?
Yeah, that was the rumors back in 1432. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
do not ride it, thy horse. That's why the ladies had to like sit with their legs to the side of the horse. And not strapped over the horse. That's
is that
not,
true?
That's not the proper.
I don't know, dude.
I just
blended
on your shit.
I was like, dude.
I have no idea. But that is, no, what is true is the way that they would sit on the side. That was like the lady like.
Yeah, that I know.
I don't know if it was, you know,
yeah,
functional because of the hybrid or if it was just like a man thing. You'll be spreading your leg over that horse kind of scene, you know?
Dude.
Stop riding that horse.
Hard being a woman. Seems
Yeah.
hard to ride a horse like that with your legs like that to the side. You have to have good upper body strength.
Right? Yeah, that makes sense.
Did you see Angelina Jolie do that in Laura Croft?
I've never
Dude.
seen that movie.
I don't
Well, you
remember.
don't know
don't
what you're missing out. really?
No, not really.
Like from a, I was gonna say like from a film perspective, or because you think Angelina Jolie's hot?
Especially back then, dude. She was like a statue riding that horse with the legs to the side and shit like that. It was
Oh, I
amazing.
haven't seen that.
Yeah, it was great. That's what you're saying, dude.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal, right? All right, well, dude, closing thoughts on Jonah Arc. This was like I'm telling you guys, if you guys get to the end of this episode, use it for your educational purposes.
Talk
Write
about
everything down, you know?
Captain Booty.
Booty
What's his
court?
name? Booty
Booty
Core.
court? Who Jodah our god had worked for? And who led it to King Charles VII? Talk about the time when she spoke to the army and said, do not fight. And then they
Other
just
than my
stopped
side.
fighting. Hold on, my side. And then they just stopped fighting.
Talk about why she couldn't, how, why women can't ride horses,
Talk
right?
about why they cannot ride horses. And most importantly, the thriving opium market that was existed in France during this particular time.
I think for
Opium.
this podcast, we need to invite a horse to discuss why that's the case. That women
Right.
cannot ride you that way.
I would love to have a horse on this podcast. It would make
Institution.
my whole life, honestly.
So great. So great. That's why
Yeah.
you guys, I just want you to stay tuned for the next episode because who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
Patty, any
I know.
advice for people between now and then?
Yes. Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Touch some grass, right?
And go touch grass.
Touch grass. Till next time. See ya.
Bye.